All right. So we're going to be finishing up some thoughts about God's plan, God's design for our financial life. And there's a whole lot more, as Pastor Benjamin told us this morning, there's a whole lot more that we haven't covered. But it's a big deal to God, and it's very inclusive. It's not just about our needs being met. It's about our heart. It's about us battling covetousness and pushing against the ways of the world of selfishness. But last week we started and we saw that really there are three big subjects in the Bible when it comes to our giving, and that is tithes, offerings, and alms. And we looked at the tithe, and I would really encourage you, if you weren't here last week, get that CD, download it on the internet. I believe it will really give you some insight perhaps that you haven't seen before. But we want to look today at some other areas that God has talked about in His Word when it comes to us giving, and that is our offerings and alms. Offerings and alms. Could I ask you to turn off that fan? Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It's just too loud. Okay. We can receive an offering today for air conditioners if you want. Okay. Now, it is really ironic that today we're talking about offerings and alms when we had a fuel hike of 39% on Friday night. Okay, somebody just told me today, I said, hey, can you deliver this to my house, doing some gardening stuff? He said, yeah, I'll do it, but you know, it used to be $800. I'm going to have to charge you $1,000 because of the fuel price. And actually, that's actually a good percentage because that's less than 39% increase. Okay, so maybe today is not the best day to talk about offerings. But we're going to do it anyway. All right, because it's something that's very, very dear to the heart of God. All right, so, but even with the fuel price increase, guess what? God, the Bible says, He supplies food, bread for food, and He supplies seed for sowing. All right, so God supplies both. He supplies what we need to eat, but He also supplies seed that is not for our eating, but it's for giving. And it's for touching the lives of other people. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty. Everybody say plenty. Plenty left over to shop in Dubai. No. Plenty left over to share with others. All right, now, so God has a purpose for plenty. He has a purpose for abundance. And that purpose is that He is thinking about other people other than you. He is thinking about using your life to touch the lives of other people. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Now, is He thinking about you? Does He want to supply all your needs? Absolutely. Consistently. Always. All right. But there is a life that God wants us to get to. 2 Corinthians 9:8, I believe it's a plan of God, but it should be the target of every believer. It should be our target for our financial life, that our needs are met consistently and there's plenty left over to share with others. All right. Now, last week regarding the tithe, we saw that Abram first did this. No one told him to do it, but he did it because he recognized that God had blessed him, that God had supplied. And so it was a way of worshiping God, of saying, God, I didn't do this. Someone else didn't do this. You did this. And so I give you a tenth. And we saw that Leviticus tells us that the tithe belongs to the Lord. Right? So it is in our hands, but it belongs to someone else. It belongs to God Himself. And so Jesus said, don't forget the weightier, the more important parts of the law, but you should tithe. He said, give unto God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Well, the tithe belongs to God. All right. And so when I tithe, I'm bringing it to my storehouse, the place where God has put His name, that there would be enough in the house of God, which is the church of God, All right, so God made a way that every local church on planet Earth would be fully financed. Not through chicken dinners, not through us doing a parade on Great East Road. I tend to never give to those because I'm so mad that I've been stuck in traffic for 20 minutes. And then they have that box, and I'm like, get that box out of my face, you know? That's just me, just I'm being honest, all right? But we don't have to do that. What do? We tithe in the house of God, in the place. And so if another church becomes your home church one day in Lusaka or somewhere else around the world, we tithe. It's just a part of, it's like we breathe, it's like we eat. We tithe at our local church, and so there'll be enough there. All right, but God has much to say in His Word other than tithing at your local church. All right, there are offerings and alms. And so tithing is a great place to start. It is not a great place to finish. Okay, and you really can't give an offering until 11%. Well, Pastor, you know, I give about 3% of my money away, but I'm giving great offerings. You haven't even tithed yet. Okay, offerings start after the tithe. Amen. God trusts you. He trusts you. Now, and if today sounds demanding, it is not. It is about expressing the heart and the will of God on planet Earth. All right? So offerings and alms fund things on the earth that are precious to the heart of God. Things that He cares about are going to happen through you. Have you noticed in the Bible that there is a special place in the heart of God for a couple categories of people? Widows and fatherless. Have you noticed that? All right. He said He defends them. Okay. That means if you pick on a widow, God is on their side. Amen. And we could talk a lot there. All right. But He also cares for the fatherless or orphans. Okay. So God cares about that. But have you ever seen an orphanage or a home or a way of taking care of orphans that God supernaturally created from the sky and it fell down? And there it is in Kafui. Wait a second. God cares. It's precious to the heart of God. Well, why doesn't God do something about it? He is going to do something about it. How? With your money. Everybody say, my money. So God has things in His heart. And so the local church is a big thing that is part of the part of God. What did Jesus say? I will build my church. All right. And so things have to, the local church has to be strong and it has to be financed. But that's not all that has to be financed in the heart and in the plan of God. All right. So God wants something done. And I really hope that this morning you're able to tune in to the heart of God, the voice of God, because when it comes to money and giving money, so many of us have become a little bit dull because as soon as we hear that we're going to give something, because we're used to manipulative family members and materialistic pastors. Or prophets, or major prophets, or minor prophets, or right. So we're so used to abusive offerings and abusive ways to get our money that when we hear about, you know, God wants me to give above the tithe, it's like I don't want to hear that. I don't know about you, right? Okay, but I want you to tune in to the real heart of God today from Scripture. All right. So God says, tithe, there's going to be enough in my house, all right? But there are big, big things that God wants done. So let's look at the offering. The offering. We see offerings in the Old Testament. We see them in the New Testament. And so offerings had to do with, we could say, special things that were happening at that time or that moment. They had to do with things that were, in the New Testament, evangelistic. Paul's apostolic work, those were funded through offerings. The ministry of Jesus was funded through offerings. People that gave into his ministry. All right. So let's look at Paul's work. All right. So Paul was called as an apostle. All right. Peter was a pastor and an apostle that stayed home. He stayed in Jerusalem largely. Paul was on the move. He was in boats. He was going from one place to another. He was getting beat up, you know, left for dead. He was going. He was on the move. Wasn't very glamorous, okay? There was no Emirates first class, okay? And so, but his job was to go where people hadn't been before and to bring the gospel, all right? So he was thanking the church at Philippi, a place where he had ministered, because they were helping fund his work. All right, look at Philippians 4, verse 15. It says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. All right, so this church that had received from Paul and had received and were blessed by his ministry, they said, you know what? We want to help what happened to us. We want to help that happen in other places. Okay? So for instance, aren't you glad that you have the Bible in the vernacular? Isn't that awesome? Do you know that for hundreds and hundreds of years of church history, church leaders made it on purpose so that you could not know what was in the Bible? They made sure that it was not in vernacular. And when people like Wycliffe and others started doing that, they killed them. We can't even believe that, can we? All right. But that's how oppressive it was at that time. Well, guess what? Somebody did that for you. Somebody sacrificed for you. Somebody made it possible that we can just wake up in the morning, get a cup of tea and read. What a gift. What a privilege. All right. So that happened to us. So you and I at Miracle Life, guess what we do? We help make that happen for people in Tanzania. I saw Doreen. Doreen, wave your hand. All right, Reuben, is he sleeping this morning? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So Reuben and Doreen, great ministry. And so they translate the Bible into languages in our neighboring country. People that are Muslim read the Bible in the vernacular. Why? Because we gave the money to make that happen. It happened for us, and we're going to make it happen for somebody else. Amen. It's not the tithe. All right. These are offerings that caused that to happen. Philippians 1. So Paul commended this church for doing that with him. And notice the language that he uses for them. Philippians 1:3. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Some people, the way they live, when you pray for them or about them, it's a joyful prayer, isn't it? And then there are those others. Right? He said, why? He said, why can I pray for you with joy? He said, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. You're my partners. If you're in business partnership with someone, right? You've put in some, they've put in some, It might be work, it might be capital, but you are together with them in the company business. You're not a customer, you're a partner. And so he told the church at Philippi, because of your giving, you're a partner with me. Now, they never went where Paul went. And see, this is the really cool thing about offerings is, you know, there are certain things for me in school, I don't know about you, that I just kind of picked up quickly. And so maths, that was one of those things. Just kind of picked it up quickly. History, those kinds of things. But when I went to school and tried to learn Spanish, yo hablo español un poquito. Very little, all right? It just didn't click for me. So if God was going to ask me physically to move to Tanzania and translate the Bible, ooh, man, we still might be working on Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You know, that'd be tough. But so what I can do, though, is I can, without even having that skill or even leaving my house, I can become partners with a missionary endeavor. Amen. And so this church, we have fruit all over the world, in the nation of Haiti, Iraq, Lebanon, Nigeria. The school that just opened in northern Nigeria. I just saw the pictures and we've given to that. You've given to that. Well, you may have given to that. The bucket may have just gone right by you. I don't know if you gave to that. A whole bunch of people gave very generously to that. Maybe you, maybe not. All right. But all these people were signing up for Rhema, Kaduna, and they've got these little hats on, you know, and it's awesome. So I don't have to go there. You don't even have to go there. But we are partners to make that happen financially. Okay, so the offering does that. In the Old Testament, there were two building projects that were a big deal to God. The tabernacle. God says, I want to dwell among my people. Aren't you glad that we are now the temple of God? Okay, but physically, God says, all right, I want to physically live among my people. And I need a habitation. And God didn't build it. They built it. They funded it. But it was important to God. So things that God wants to happen, we hear what He wants, we sense what He wants, and then we pay for it. We're His partner. We're God's financial partners on planet Earth. We fund the work of God here. Amen. And you're thinking, well, I thought God was my financial partner. We are God's financial partner. We fund His will and His plan. Look at some verses in Exodus 25. All right, so this was the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Exodus 25, 1 and 2. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Everybody say heart. All right, now, in Exodus 25, these were tithers. These were people who already were tithing. Why? Because it was in the law. They were following God. They were in covenant with Him. All right, so these were tithers. Now bring an offering. All right? To me. All right? Verse 8. Then have them make a sanctuary for me. So we are funding things for God. Why doesn't God do it? Why doesn't his streets are made of gold? My street is still made of dirt. Huh? No. See, He puts the resources on here. He builds kingdom partners. His heart becomes our heart. Now, how many of you know if God wanted to, He could take a few of His bricks from the roads of heaven and bloop, drop them down, couldn't He? Does He? He doesn't. I'll be honest, I wish He would sometimes, but that's not how He does it. All right? So He has things on His heart. He asks us to respond, to build things, to do things for Him and with Him. And I will dwell among my people. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. So God was the architect. God was the designer. All right. And so what happened? He said, all right, everybody whose heart prompts them. And so today is about allowing God to prompt your heart, to prompt your heart about the things that he cares about, the things that he wants done on the earth. All right. So many times offerings come from heart promptings. All right. Now, the tithe really is not. You don't have to be prompted to tithe. All right. It's just what we do. Now, we should do it from our heart and as an act of worship. All right. But I'm not waiting on the Lord to show me to do that. All right. Offerings are different. God will speak to you. Many times he'll say, go do that, or give a certain amount, or help that project. All right. Exodus 35. All right. So this was the plan to tell the people, but then they heard it and they began to do this. Exodus 35. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing. Everybody say willing. All right. So your heart prompts you. Everybody is willing, or those who are willing, to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze to the Lord, because it is for something God wants done. All right. Go down to verse 20 in the same chapter in Exodus 35. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him. So my heart prompts me. My heart moves me. Because why? Because I'm willing. And whose heart moved him to come and brought an offering for to the Lord for the work of the tent of the meeting, for all its service. So it wasn't just building a tent. It was about what was going to happen in that tent, right? And for the sacred garments. And the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings. For all the work of the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Offerings have to be free will in order for them to be offerings. Okay? Otherwise, you're just paying off a terrorist. You're trying to shut them up. I wish the pastor would stop bugging me. Here you go. Shut up, pastor. All right? That's not a free will offering, is it? Okay. At Miracle Life, we believe this. Low pressure offerings. High inspiration offerings. For God to inspire you. For God to touch your heart. For God to speak to you. No human pressure. Lots of God speaking. Amen. Holy Spirit promptings. All right. Now, so everybody who was willing, everybody whose heart prompted them. Now, if you know this story, what happens is they began to bring, and they actually brought too much. And Moses had to give a word to the leaders to say, restrain the people from giving. That happened under the Old Testament with people that were not born again. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Ushers, stop, stop. Stop that man. Stop that man with the money. That's what happened. Okay? Because their hearts were prompted. All right? Amen. Now, under the hundreds and hundreds of years later, under David, under his leadership, there was another building. And so now this was the temple, a permanent structure, not a tent. All right? In 1 Chronicles 29, David had said, all right, and leaders always go first. Okay? If you're a leader, you don't ask anyone to do what you're not willing to do. Ever. Okay? 1 Chronicles 29, David had offered for the temple $2 billion of his own money. And then he asked his leaders to join him. They did. And then people began to give. And then there's this expression of thankfulness and awe that David has to the Lord of what just happened. 1 Chronicles 29, David says, verse 12, he says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. What was the offering that we gave you, God? What you first put into our hand. You are El Shaddai. You are the one who supplies. You are Jehovah Jireh. So everything that we have first came from you, and it's going back into the hand that gave it to us. All right? So God is still looking for his kingdom to be built in a variety of ways in 2016. He is looking for people who will fund his kingdom activities. All right? So it means that we have to allow our heart to be moved. Okay? Now, how many of you, your heart has ever been moved by a UHD flat screen TV? It's been moved by a handbag. Has your heart ever, come on, let's be honest. Has your heart ever been moved? All right? A certain vehicle or this or that, and you're just like, be still my heart, right? Well, it was moved for you, wasn't it? All right. Now, we're not saying that every lady here should throw away her handbag and come next week in a ShopRite bag, you know. But how many of you know a handbag doesn't help anyone know Jesus? It doesn't help a child who doesn't have parents finish their schooling. It makes no eternal consequence at all. Okay? I like what T.D. Jakes says. Your driving, the car you drive, your driving should never be better than your giving. So, you know, if you're driving a Corolla and you've got bicycle giving, that's not okay. It's not okay with God. All right? Because your heart is prompted for you, but is it prompted for the things that are on God's heart? The things that he actually needs financed on planet Earth. Okay? This church is, and I'm sorry if you're a member at Miracle Life, I'm sorry about this, but this church is a trend-setting church. Okay, so we're going to do stuff that sometimes other people aren't doing, and sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, okay? But if you were here years and years ago when the tsunami hit Southeast Asia and stuff, this church gave at that time, so in a Quacha equivalent, we took in a special offering. We were a much, much smaller church. But we gave 20,000 Quacha, or 20 million at the time. And we helped rebuild churches in Sri Lanka and Asia that had been hit by the tsunami and helped Christians eat. All right. Here in Lusaka, there was an interfaith gathering. And they raised 1,500 Quacha and like 12 pair of shoes. And that made the newspaper. We have to have a different mindset, folks. We are God's financial partners on planet Earth, not the Norwegian government. We are. Zambians are. All right? Well, I'm messing up my sermon here, but anyway, okay. We have to have a new vision. We have to have a new way of thinking. All right. I was with someone having coffee at a shopping center in Lusaka, one of the many shopping centers where we shop. All right. So I was having coffee, and this person is involved in a really great ministry. A number of our members have worked there or do work there. And they help orphans, and they help disadvantaged kids go to school. And they do some incredibly great work in this nation, okay? And they have a budget of $30 million. You can do a lot with $30 million. And not one ingwe comes from Zambia. So I was challenging this person. We were having coffee. And I said, oh, just look at the cars that are leaving this shopping center. Jeep Cherokee, $85,000. Actually, that's a good deal. Yeah. Range Rover. And none of the license plates said GRZ. Or ZAF. These were private citizens driving these cars. And I said, I want to challenge you. And it's so wonderful what you've done. And there's some very generous people from another country that are funding this. But you need to go knock on his window and tell him that it's his responsibility to take care of the orphans in his nation. Because if he's got the money to drive a Jeep Cherokee, he can sponsor a child to go to school. That's not his relative. Yeah. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Hold on to your wallets. Hold on to your handbags, mama. Okay. So, offerings. All right, so this church building was built through offerings. Okay, not the tithe, but offerings. Okay, 96% came from people from this church. 96%. All right, and of this church, no individual gave more than 5%. That's a fact. I'm an accountant. I do the facts. All right. Oh, I thought those two people did it. No. Did people give generously? Really, really generously. But no one gave more than 5%. My daughter gave hundreds of dollars as a high school student. More than some businessmen. I'll just leave that right there. Okay. All right. So offerings fund the kingdom of God. They fund missionary endeavors. They fund church planting. They fund all the incredible things that are happening all over the world through kingdom activities as God builds and spreads churches. Amen. Evangelists that go teach and preach the gospel. Amen. And they go and do those things. This church supports Zambian evangelists that take the gospel in our nation to rural areas. Okay? So we do stuff like that. It's awesome. All right? So they're offerings, but then the Bible talks about alms. Alms. And that is giving to the poor. Giving to people who are either temporarily poor or perhaps have been there for a while. But it's giving to individuals. All right. So it's not building a church. It's not translating a Bible. It's not sponsoring a crusade, but it is giving to people who are in need. Okay. So let's look at that. Ephesians 4:28. And then this is interesting. This was written to Christians, to the saints at Ephesus. If you are a thief, quit stealing. You can either say amen or you can elbow the person next to you that you would think qualifies for that verse, okay? So if you're a thief, it means it's possible that thieves come to church. It's possible. All right? So if you're a thief, quit stealing. But we're not going to stop there. There's a whole new life. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. I like that phrase. Good, hard work. What does God call hard work? Good. Some people think of hard work as hard work. Bad hard work. I rebuke hard work. It's good hard work. Okay? And then, that's after the good hard work, then give generously to others in need. And this is not the tithe. This is not Paul's missionary endeavors. This is people. People who are struggling. People who are having a tough time. Proverbs 31:20, speaking of the virtuous woman, the woman, wisdom is personified in this person at the end of Proverbs, but it's actually also talking about men, what we should look for in a lady if we're single, all right? So one of the qualities about her is that she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Amen. So she does, and so men, maybe if you're a single guy, guys, does your girlfriend, your person that you're interested in, does she love spending money more on herself or others? Yeah. You are to look for a woman who loves spending money on other people and blessing other people. Amen. That's attractive. It's attractive. It's godlike. All right. So the Bible also has an emphasis on helping in, when it comes to individuals, on helping Christian brothers and sisters. Okay. 1 John 3:16-17. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Everybody say gave up. All right, so he gave up his life for us. So we also should give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Question mark. Meaning that's weird. That's strange. Okay. So there is an emphasis. Are we to give? Yes. But one of the places we give is to people in the family of God, fellow Christians, all right? So we give as God leads. Now, when we give to people in need, one of the things we have to accept as we do this is how many of us realize none of us are El Shaddai, okay? We are not the all-sufficient one. And so we cannot meet every need. We can't meet every need in our neighborhood, all right? And so that means that we are to help those in need, but we need to be guided by compassion, guided by Scripture, guided by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, okay? The Lord has led my wife and I in certain areas of giving, that of helping people, and I tell you, we love it. Oh my gosh, we love it. All right, it is a thrill, and I just love making a difference for people in these areas. And so, there was an opportunity, in a certain area where we were giving to help someone, and they were in big trouble. And so, my wife said, "Well, can we do something? Should we do something?" And we said, "Well, let's pray about it." And she had a real strong impression from the Lord. Don't. Now, we had already done sizable help, all right? But the Lord said, don't. And she was like ready to disobey the Lord and give, all right? If you're going to disobey the Lord, that's not the worst way to disobey the Lord. All right. But anyway, it's still disobedience. So she didn't. She didn't. And we said, okay, Lord, we pray and we trust you. 1 week later, that person called us and said, "You'll da-da-da-da happen." And I talked to this person. And the institution where I was, a board met, and I was given a $10,000 grant. So what God was doing, not telling us, was, hey, I'm working on something. I got these people over here. I'm stirring their hearts. And I want them to see that this can happen from somebody other than you. Amen. So we're moved by compassion. We're led by the Holy Spirit. But we're also guided by Scripture. Okay? Now, it's interesting. Alms Alms are something that are very precious to God, okay? Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion that was called the Italian regiment, all right? So he was born a Gentile, but he was now following some of the ways of Judaism, okay? A devout man who feared God in his household, so he was not born again. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of that day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So an angel of God showed him in a vision, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Does God hear our prayers? Does God notice our alms? He notices them. He is aware of them. The Bible says that it was a memorial to God. It blesses the heart of God. Now, there's a certain world religion that requires its members to give to the poor. And where their religion is practiced, there's a lot of poverty. False religion produces poverty. Study world history. You'll find it. Okay? And so what they do is they carry in their car like a bag of 1 ngwe coins. Because they have to give. They're required to give. So what are they going to give? The smallest amount possible. So somebody knocks on their door. Hannah, okay, there's an... How many? 1 ngwe. What is that going to do? Nothing, nothing, nothing. But I've satisfied the requirements. Cornelius wasn't doing that. He actually loved people. God noticed it. And his alms were a memorial before God. Proverbs 19:17 says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. When you help the poor in a biblical, God-inspired, compassionate way, that transaction was recorded on God's accounts payable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you who are accountants, a debit happened on the earth, a credit happened in heaven. Yeah, he owes you financially, and he will repay. So he notices it, all right? So many times, alms, helping, there may be a short-term situation, all right? Somebody's going through a catastrophe, a big deal, all right? And people who can help, all right? And that is needed, and we see that in the Bible. It happened in the New Testament. But then also, how many know helping the poor is not just paying their bills for the next 30 years? Right? That's not God's plan for their life. Right. Look at this scripture with me. Psalm 113. Psalm 113, 7 and 8. He, this is God, he raises the poor out of the dust. What does that mean? You're not dusty anymore. I was in the dust, but God took me out of the dust. God does that. And he lifts the needy out of the trash heap. And he may, that he may seat him with princes of his people. All right. So if God, his heart, his desire is to lift the poor and the needy out of the dust, out of the trash heap. How many of you know that the trash heap is not what God created for human dignity? That's not his plan from Genesis. Now, if somebody is there, they're there. So alms and strategic giving, I think we're getting smarter and smarter with this worldwide, is how can my giving get them out. Get them out. Amen. How many of you know that you can have a part with God's heart to get the poor and the needy out? That's a big deal, isn't it? That is a huge deal in the heart and the mind of God. All right? So we need to say, God, can you help me to raise the poor? Because feeding them for the next 30 years, that's not your plan. You want to raise them out. All right? Now, one of the things with alms from the Bible, it says that we are to be selective. All right? So Paul was giving instruction to Timothy as a pastor. And he said, and so there were widows, and it was a time of turmoil in the world. And so there were ladies whose husband had died. He said, but if they're under the age of 65, don't give them any money. If they gossip and they're busybodies, don't give them any money. And all the ladies said, uh-oh. I love you ladies, but I'm picking on you, right? So there were things that you could do to qualify, and there are things you could do to be disqualified to receive alms, all right? And so it means that we have to be wise scripturally, okay? Is there a need, or is this really an act of irresponsibility, okay? Galatians, and in our couple years ago, we did a series called Relating to Others. I would highly, highly recommend that if you weren't here then. But Galatians 6 talks about that we help people, the Greek word, who have a boulder on their life. Okay? Lift their burden, their boulder. They can't remove it. All right? And there might be a financial boulder. All right? But then that same passage says everyone should carry their own knapsack. They should have personal responsibility for their own life. All right? And so we have to distinguish when we are really helping. Or are we enabling irresponsibility? Okay. Now, here's a big deal, and I want to take some time, but we need to make sure that when we give to individuals, it is prompted by compassion. It is prompted by the Holy Spirit, not prompted by their manipulation. Okay. If someone is putting pressure on you to give, the Bible response is to close your wallet. Some of you don't believe me. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Okay. There aren't too many places in the Bible where God says, don't give. All right, Pastor Benjamin, you found a whole lot of places where it says give. All right, well, here's a place where it says don't give. Okay? He says, 2 Corinthians 9:7, I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. And make up your own mind what you will give. So who decides? You decide. Do they decide? You decide. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. All right? New Living Translation says, do not give in response to pressure. So if you have a cousin who is pressuring you, Stop. Get out from under that pressure. Now, maybe God wants you to do something, maybe he doesn't. But you do not give in response to pressure. And folks, if we're going to fund God's heart on the earth, which he wants us to do, okay, I believe in my lifetime there will be a Zambian who will fund and create Zambia's equivalent of World Vision. With Zambian money. Yeah. Bill Gates says, hey, can I give? Sorry, Bill. We're good. You can go down maybe, Clinton Foundation, World Vision. You actually got your own foundation, but hey, we're good. We're from Zambia. We live in the most generous nation on planet Earth. We're a donor nation. We're a donor nation. We're a donor nation. Yeah. Habitat for Humanity. Great work. Where's the money coming from? Not Zambia. New mindset. And some of us, when we're thinking about money, we're still just thinking about, a fancy car with leather seats. Oh my goodness. God has such a higher purposes for your money. Oh, come up higher to the throne of God. Hear his heartbeat. His heartbeat doesn't beat for leather seats. His heart beats for the 1 million orphans in our nation. And it is your responsibility to do something about it. Not Miracle Life. You. You. We're doing something at this church. Amen. But God's going to knock on your door. Hallelujah. Less money in your pockets. More money in my kingdom. More money to do the work that I've asked to be done in this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In order to say yes to God's heart, biblical giving, offerings, alms, things that God is passionate about, in order to say yes to that, many of you in this room are going to have to say no to unbiblical giving. Manipulators, arm twisters. And I'm sorry, but some of them have the same surname as you. There is one Jehovah Jireh, and it's not you. Does the Bible talk about helping our family? Absolutely. All right. But this is, I'm talking about a situation. It is not from Zambia. Don't worry. I'm not picking on you and your family. All right. But somebody told me about a deal, and this family member is in big, big financial trouble through bad decisions. But this family member still wanted to help. Hey, how can we do this? Want to help you do this. And they said, well, here's how you can help. You can give me a loan so I can buy a 7-bedroom home. And they're single. Well, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that? Rah, rah, rah. The creature comes out. I'm going to tell your uncle. I'm going to tell. And I was so proud of this person. They said, I'm not afraid of you and I'm not afraid of them. Do they want to help? Yes. In an appropriate way? Yes. In a goofy way? No. If you have a relative that is demanding a full bouquet of DSTV, let's try it in church. Everybody say this word with me. It's an incredibly powerful word. Everybody say it. Say no. No. Hallelujah. If you're from Bloemfontein, it's Nia. When people demand something from you, that is not giving. They have become a financial terrorist. God does not negotiate with terrorists. Okay? For real. For real. Okay. Because some of your money is going into really dumb things. And God says, I want that money to actually fund my heart. Things that I care about on planet Earth. Not just keeping your auntie from not talking about you at the funeral. Do what God leads you to do. Do what's right. Be generous. Amen. Help people, but don't give into terrorism. Okay? Amen. So giving is in response to the Holy Spirit. Some people use this phrase, well, I had to give. That is an unbiblical phrase. I had to. No, you didn't. You chose to. You chose to. All right. If people are demanding certain things from you, they are out of line. They're out of line. Okay. Hallelujah. And then we've already talked about this in other places, but don't raise your kids to be your ATMs for 20 years from now. Raise your kids to be successful. Amen. If they love Jesus, will they honor their parents? Absolutely. All right, but you're not raising them up to be your retirement package. That's your job. Okay? All right, we'll close here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Worship team, you can come. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Tell them, I'm telling you right now today, tell them, use your money to do good. They should be rich in good works, generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. Folks, there is a realm of our life and our lifestyle and money that's so far above. And God wants you to be His finance minister on planet Earth, funding His work. The priorities of heaven are seen in your personal finances. It's a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. And so it's much, much more than just kind of us having stuff right. And we have that need, and we need, and God wants to sort that out. But there's even a higher level to live in our life.